Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 26 through 32 together. I'll read aloud as you read silently. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 through 32. If you'll please stand to your feet as you're finding your place this morning in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. That's Ephesians chapter 4 and beginning at verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may be able to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the privilege and honor we have to come to a church and hear it preached freely. God, help us not take it for granted today. Help us to hear and do what's preached and taught. Anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power for this task to help us today. And Father, if there's somebody in the room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, I pray before they leave this room, they would settle that. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, we will ask that you make sure your cell phone or electronic device or whatever it is that buzzes, beeps, or plays La Cucaracha will go off for now, please, so we don't have to listen to it during the service. We would appreciate that tremendously. Four times in our verses that we just read a moment ago, four times, the word let is used. But no explanation about how to let those things go. It says there again in your Bible, please, if you'll notice, verse 26, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. That's a great verse for Congress. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. It just tells you to do it. Basically, what he's saying this morning is the subject of our year-end message on this last Sunday of 2014. And here's the subject and here's the thought. Let it go. Just let it go. You say, but how, Pastor Johnson? How do you let go of those things that make you so angry in life? The Bible just says, let it go. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Do you know what that means? That means there's not supposed to be anything in my life that causes me anger that lasts longer than 24 hours. But he doesn't tell you how to get over it. He just says, let it go. Now, we live in a society today whereby everything is very complicated. And to deal with issues in life, well, you've got to have intense counseling, probably a good dose of medication, maybe a little shock therapy, and then maybe, just maybe, you might get over how come your chihuahua died and get on with life. The truth of the matter is, he's saying here, let it go. That's what he's saying. Over and over again in this passage, is let it go. And so this morning, it's a deep theological message today. I want to give you this one thought to end 2014. Let it go. Just let it go. By that, I simply mean this morning, would you just finally settle up on some things in your life and just let it go? Let's not take into 2015 the junk we drug around with this in 2014. Why are people's lives so unhappy and miserable today? Because they accumulate all these things in their life. And my goodness, by the time you're 14 or 15, we've got so much baggage we can't hardly stand up. And there's so many things in our life because of all the stuff that we've had just in the past year. You know, we see all these year-end programs where they talk about the things that happened. Every time I see one of those, I think to myself, man, was that already this year already passed? It's amazing how things can accumulate in our lives. God's answer isn't how to let it go. He's just telling you, let it go. Let it go. He said, let the things that cause you anger, let it go. Let him that stole steal no more, let it go. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What causes your mouth to say what you shouldn't say, you need to let that go. And then, of course, the great verse of 31 is, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking with all malice be put away from you. Let it go. He said, let it be put away from you. So the thought this morning is, let's let some things go in our life. First of all, let's let go all the excuses we've been using for what we do and don't do in our life. Let's let those excuses go once and for all and forever. I'm serious now. One of these days I'm going to write a book. And I think, well, I'll wait until I've heard all the excuses, but I think I've heard them all now, I think. But it's a new day, and with Google, you never know what you'll come up with. The truth of the matter is, I'm going to write me a book of all the excuses I've heard in 35 years of ministry of why people do or don't do what they do in their life. Well, I wouldn't have done that, but you see, here's my excuse. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, everybody has excuses. Yes, I know that. But the problem is this, when are we going to let all these excuses go and just do what we're supposed to do? To do the right thing. To stop doing the wrong things of our lives. Just to let it go. And until we get past that excuse-making principle of our life, you understand, dear people, and years ago when our first staff member was supposed to prepare a men's breakfast for us, our first men's breakfast, and we said at a certain time, just like we'll have them this next month in January, we have men's breakfast in our church here, but I had it set for a certain time on a Saturday. At a certain time, he was to get the meal, prepare it, set everything up, and have it at the church. It wasn't this building. It was one of our old buildings. It was 8 o'clock, I think it was. We showed up at 7:45. Nobody was there. Nothing was set up. Nothing was done. 8 o'clock came around. Nobody was there. Nothing was set up. Nothing was done. No food. Hey, look at me. You don't want to get between a bunch of Baptists and breakfast. You got problems already. By 8:30, he showed up late with nothing ready and the food. We set up tables. We got it all done. Everything was finished. I was not happy. After it was all over, and he goes, now, Pastor, let me say something. I said, no, don't say anything to me right now because I want to kill you. And the Bible said, thou shalt not kill. So if you don't say anything, I won't violate the Bible. I'll talk to you later about it. Later on that day, we got together and had a chat. And I said, okay, what happened? And he started telling me. And I said, well, you know what? Wait a minute. Stop a moment. I said, before you're done with the litany of excuses of why you weren't there and on time, had it done and ready like you were supposed to, what am I supposed to do after you give me these excuses? Next time you don't do what you should, we're going to have more excuses again, you see. I said, look, man, I'm not perfect. You're not either. We'll get all right. It's okay. I mean, the world economy didn't collapse because the ham and eggs weren't there on time. We're all right with that. But if I take these excuses now, what am I going to have to do next time? Don't you understand, dear friend, this morning? Look at me. Every time you make an excuse for why you don't do what you should do, or why you do what you shouldn't do, don't you know what you've done? You've created another excuse for the next time. And if I'm excused this time, then I'm going to be excused next time. No, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm just simply saying, when are we going to get past all the excuses for all the stuff that's not done in our lives or should be done that we don't do? Well, you have to understand. See, I wasn't at a good place in my life. Then get a GPS and get there. Figure it out. My life cannot be, it'll be nothing but a litany of excuses. There are people today who are still trying to get over the terrible twos, and they're 50. Because it's not going well. I got a toothache. My toe hurts. I had a bad day at work, and blah, 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 blah. And everybody has toothaches, and everybody's toe hurts, and we all have bad days at work. But somewhere along the way, we got to let the excuses go and just decide if this is the right thing, I need to do this. And if this is the wrong thing, I don't need to do that. And there's no excuse for that. And I'm not going to excuse myself anymore for what I'm doing. Example in this excuse area. There are people who won't come to Christ in salvation because they keep using excuses for that. course, the most popular one is, well, I don't want to become a Christian because I know there are so many hypocrites in church. Well, excuse me. Like, that's brand new. No one ever came up with that one before. Man, I'm shocked. Look at my look. I'm shocked that you came up with that sorry, stinking excuse. You don't have to accept Christians to be saved. You have to accept Christ, and He's perfect. There's no reason for that. There's no reason to use any excuse for nothing. Well, I want to think about it. Think about what? Think about the fact that God loves you and Christ died for you and gave His life and shed His precious innocent blood for you, dipped His soul into death, rose from the dead to give you the gift of eternal life, and all you have to do is receive it. What do you need to think about? Did anyone do that at Christmas time? Someone handed you a gift and you said, no, not now. I want to think about it. An old five-year-old did that. That's why children come to Christ more easily than adults do. You hand a kid a gift, he doesn't care what's in there. Most of the time, he just wants to tear the wrapping off of it anyhow. And now we got these bags, these gift bag things. Whatever happened to wrapping stuff anymore? Nope, everything's in a gift bag with toilet paper on top of it. It's all gift bags now. And you pull out the toilet paper and there's the gift. It just kind of ruins everything. You don't get to rip it open or as a kid put one of those industrial razor blades between your teeth and crawl on the floor in the middle of the night and slice the paper and open it up so you can see what it is and then put it back. No, you don't get to do that anymore because it's a gift bag. You just pull up the toilet paper and there it is. I mean, look at me. Nobody ever got a gift at Christmas time and said, let me think about it. You just took it and you just simply received it because it was simply given. And that's what God's done with eternal life. Jesus has paid for everything and purchased the precious gift of the forgiveness of God and eternal life and salvation from hell with His precious blood. And you want to think about it? What kind of excuse is that? You don't have to think about how much God loves you because He loves you, my friend. You don't have to think about anything. You just need to simply repent and turn to Christ and get saved. It's that simple. There is no excuse for somebody missing heaven and winding up in hell when they know what salvation is, and it's in the person of Christ. Let your excuses go. So, Christian, question, what you knew the Lord wanted you to do this past year you haven't done yet. Question, are you still waiting for summer to be over? Well, as soon as summer's over, this is December. Oh, yeah, well, it's Christmas. That's gone now. Right? This last time I checked it, this is December 27th. So now we're past Christmas. Well, then there's New Year's. And yeah, and then there's going to be February the 8th. Say, what's that? I don't know, but it's just as good as any of the other excuses that we come up with. What are we going to do? Look here. Let it go. Let the excuses go of what you know you're supposed to be doing. Well, see, I've been really busy. Who isn't? Who is not busy? Everybody is busy. Now, some people are busy with the wrong stuff, but bottom line is everybody's busy. All God's children are busy. We all got stuff. Well, as soon as I get some things straightened out in my life, well, then I'm going to do this, what the Bible... No. What the Bible tells you to do, you should just go ahead and do that now. Jesus called the disciples, those first few disciples. They were fishermen, and they were mending their nets or washing their nets on the shore of Galilee. And Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they said, excuse me? Would you have your secretary call my secretary? We'll do lunch and discuss it, and we'll see how this works out. But right now, I'm busy mending my net. The Bible says they dropped their nets, and immediately they followed him. I got out of the will of God in my life from the time I was 12 until I was 22. And in the 10-year period of time, there were a lot of times when I knew I needed to get right with God. And I kept making excuses for why I wouldn't. Well, I needed this. And excuse. Finally, on a hot August night of 1975, no more excuses. I just decided to get right with God. No conditions, no circumstances, no situations. I just got right with God. That was all. And then when I did that night, I mean, I didn't have to get saved again. You get saved one time in life. That's all. Rededication, that'll be many times in life. Salvation's once. Your physical birth is once. Your spiritual birth is once. Jesus attached that in John chapter 3 when he told Nicodemus he had to be born again, spiritually speaking. You have one physical birth, you have one spiritual birth. That's all you have. But rededication, oh my. And when I got right with God that hot August night of 1975, the first thing that dawned on me was, how did I put this off for 10 years? You know how you do it? one excuse at a time. It's the end of 2014. Let it go. Let go of the excuses. Stop it. It's enough now. Too much time is gone. Too much water under the bridge. Too many sunrises and sunsets. No more excuses. It is time to do what we're supposed to do. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, then it's time to get saved. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. No more excuses. As a child of God living for God or not living for the Lord, it's time to stop that and get on board and do what you need to do. Let it go on the excuses. Number next, let it go on your fears. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Yet, if you ask the average person why they don't do what they should or they do what they do, the average person will tell you, well, I would have done the right thing, but see, I've got this friend. So then your fear of man is keeping you from doing the right thing. Some people, it's a fear of stepping out by faith. Remember that passage in the Bible where Jesus had sent the disciples in the ship across the Sea of Galilee, and he waited on the shore, and he told them, I'll meet you on the other side. Now, he didn't say, I have a ship arranged that will take me over there. He just said, I'll meet you over there. They get out in the ship, and a storm comes up. And they're rowing and bailing and doing everything that they possibly can, and here comes Jesus walking across the tops of the waters in the midst of the storm. And they cried out for fear, and he said, it's me, don't worry about it. And Peter says, Lord, if it really is you, bid me come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. Now, folks, look at me. If he could make Peter walk on the water, he could make him get out of the boat. But Peter had to get out of the boat to see if he could walk on the water. He had to take that step. Now, you know what that's like. He had to swing his leg over the side of that ship and then start to slide down the side and see if God was able to hold him up above the water in the midst of that storm. But he had to get out of the boat to find out, didn't he? So then consequently, when he did that, he slid and sunk like a rock. No, he didn't. The Bible says he walked to the Lord on top of the water. He never even got wet. He just walked across it. There's Jesus. Here's Peter. And Peter's heading towards him, walking across the water. He's actually doing it. He is doing what he asked the Lord to help him do. But he had to get out of the boat to find out. And then the Bible says, then he looked up and he took his eyes off Jesus, saw the storm, and in great fear he began to sink and said, see, I told you, God failed. He's sinking. While he's going down, he's thinking, what's this all about? How come I'm going under? What is the deal here? No, he begins to sink. That means he knew something wasn't right. He starts to lower. He's still not wet yet. He's still walking across the top of the water. And he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus is immediately there, takes him by the hand, and they walk back together to the ship and did just fine. You know, Peter overcame his fear by stepping out by faith. Let me tell you something now. There's something about faith that requires you to get right to the edge, and then you have to take the first step to find out. What is it that you fear trusting God to do? You think he's going to fail you? He has never failed anybody who stepped out by faith and obedience to his word. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. Let go of your fears. Step out and obey his word and let God honor what he has told you he would honor. See, well, I'm not sure how it'll turn out. Don't know either. Can't tell you. Honestly, can't tell you how the consequences will be. Can't tell you how everything will go. Can't tell you it'll all be silvery seas and soft breezes. I can't tell you you'll get everything that you ever wanted, and you'll finally get that Cadillac, and you'll finally get the job, and you'll finally get the raise, and you'll finally lose 50 pounds. I can't guarantee anything. Can't do it. Can guarantee you this. You won't fail doing what the Bible tells you to do. Because God's in the business of honoring faith. Let your fears go. Oh, here's one. Now, don't panic, but listen. Let your fear go of the loss of control. Got any control freaks in here? Huh? You even put a schedule on the door in the bathroom where everybody else can go. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Control. You're a control freak. You walk in the house, the first thing you did is you get the control for the television set because you're controlling that too. You are in control. You're going to control it all. You're even watching how people breathe. You're breathing too fast. I mean, you are a control freak. Everything has to, look at me. All your little ducks have got to be in order or it just isn't going to work. Brother Matt, when he first was a single guy, he came to be an intern with us one summer. And he came and stayed at our house for the summer. We took him to his room. I showed him where the room was. He put his stuff down and got it all going. Then he had to go somewhere. And I walked by and the door was open on the room. I looked in there. This guy had his shoes under the bed like in a military inspection, all lined up in a perfect row. He had, look at me, he had his little ink pens, a bunch of them out there on the desk, and they were all pointed in the same direction to Jerusalem or something. I don't know what that was. And he had all his pens lined up, and he had all his little papers were there, and everything was just neat as a pen. And when I got my wife, I said, honey, come and look at this. Look at this. This is unbelievable. This man needs a wife and some kids, man. It'll fix all this junk. Because that's going out the window. I guarantee you that. You get your one kid with peanut butter in his diaper and control is over. Remember what that was like when you first went out? You're young couples, you had your first kid, and you got all dressed up for your first dinner out together. You got the little bugger, and you go out to dinner, and you put him in the high chair, and the kid just fills his shorts right there in the restaurant. And everyone's asking you to please leave so they can enjoy their meal. Oh, yeah, and it's going up his back and everything else. Yeah, the control's over.
Young couples with their first kid. They're hilarious. They're hilarious. All they need is a couple more and they'll be fine. Everything will be good.
No, we can't control everything in life. I did not say live your life out of control. But some of you need to let go and let God do some controlling of your life. And trust the one who knows what he's doing. Just let it go. Then verse number 31 this morning, something else you need to let go. You need to let go of the bitterness. The truth is, the things that have accumulated up to this verse are the things that bring about the bitterness, what causes you to be angry. Bitter people have trouble controlling their mouth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Then we get to verse 31. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and all the anger in people's lives, most all that stuff is a bitterness issue. And you understand bitterness now is when you hold something against somebody and you refuse to let it go. Well, if you knew what they did to me, Pastor Johnson. Yes, and we could all have a big Oprah session and go over all the stuff that's been done to us in our lives. But the bottom line is, my friend, he doesn't tell you how to get over bitterness. He just tells you to let it go. Oh, by the way, the next verse will show you how in just a moment. But I want you to listen to me very carefully. Some of you folks, you have bitterness in your life because you're bitter toward God. God took somebody or something from you and you've never forgiven him for that. And may I say to you this morning something else that'll add to you today, this bitterness toward God thing. He doesn't need your forgiveness because God didn't make a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. Say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Johnson. Oh, yeah. You hear me? God doesn't need our forgiveness because God doesn't make mistakes. He does not do what's best and right for every living soul on this planet. However, some of you need to let go of what you're holding against God because it didn't go right. Can I ask you a question this morning? By the way, this is related to being a control freak. Because it doesn't go the way you want, then that's wrong, even if you've asked God about it, right? So you ask, you pray, you trust God, and it doesn't go the way you've asked. So now you got a problem with God about something. So then, listen now, so then it has to go your way, the way you think it should, for it to be right. And if God doesn't do that, then God's wrong and you're right. So now what we just did is we just flipped roles. And now you're God and he's not. Now that's a problem. You say, Pastor Johnson, that's not fair. It is completely fair and the only way to fix it. Why don't you let God be God, ladies and gentlemen? Why don't you just leave him alone and realize that he knows what he's doing and stop holding things against God because it didn't go the way you thought. They suffered and it wasn't right. Suffering's never right in our sight. But for some reason, suffering seems to be a part of the plan of God. Why? I don't know. Well, I do know. I know in some way it perfects us. It improves us. It matures us. It helps us in our lives. I know there's purpose to it. There's never any reason for things that happen with no reason. There's always a reason behind it. But you need to let it go. You can't be right in a world when you're not right with God. I assure you of that. But if you knew what it was, Pastor Johnson, oh, I see. You mean like Job in the Bible, who lost everything he owned and his health? All of it gone. All his children killed in one day. Everything gone. All of it wiped out. His entire life just wiped out. And yet Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. You have to let it go. But if he could just explain to me why, can I ask you a question? Then that would change what happened. Well, at least I would know the why of it, Pastor Johnson, and it would make it better. It would improve the situation. Your life would be different because you know the why of it. But it still doesn't change the fact that you were hurt and that God did something you didn't agree with. The issue is not what he did. The issue is how you're handling what God did. Got to let it go. In some cases, your bitterness is towards somebody. The answer for that bitterness and cure is in the Bible. It's verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. The Bible says, forgiving one another. Did you know that forgiveness is the antibiotic for bitterness? Forgiveness. Because forgiveness in the Bible means you let it go. You ask God to give you grace to let it go. And by the way, look at me. Don't give me that, oh, well, I've forgiven them, but I still have a problem with them. Then you haven't forgiven them. The proof that you've forgiven is there's no bitterness towards you and the one you've forgiven because you let it go. You're not holding against them anymore. Does that make what they did to you right? Nope. Does that mean you have to accept it? No. It does mean you need to put away from you the hurt of it so you can go on with your life, and that's letting the bitterness go. That's when it's gone. When you've really accepted the forgiveness of God for yourself and granted it to somebody else, bitterness goes with it. And my friend, I don't care what they've done. There's no greater damage that can be done to a life and a soul than what they've done to you cause you to be bitter for the rest of your days. Let it go. That's not fair. They should let it go. What if they don't ever do right? What if they keep on hurting you? What if the wrong is still there and they never make it right? Now what are you going to do? You don't wait on them to do the right thing. You ask God to give you grace. And it's in the same verse, by the way. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See, a forgiven person knows how to grant forgiveness because you received it. Now you know how to give it. So don't talk to me about how you can't let it go. Let's talk about how you don't want to, because that's really what the issue is. And I'll testify to you this morning and say, I lived a bitter life for many years until I learned of how to forgive. And now there is nothing between my soul, my Savior, and not one person on this planet. You say, well, that's church and that's not really how it is. No, that's not church. That's how it really is. I pastored the same church in the same town for 31 years. There are a few people in this town who got a few issues with me. Not about anything of honesty, by the way. Nothing about morality. What about what we believe and preach? And they got problems. And they got problems with this preacher. And I see him in town. Look, folks, you're looking at a man who's... I've had people threaten to kill me. Yeah. Teddy Bear, Sweet Pea Johnson. Can you believe that? Want to kill me. Vandalize my house. Mess with my family. Now that one I have a hard time with because I grew up in a drunkard's home, saw my mama get beat up. So I have a problem with people messing with my family. There's a part of me that wants to step in the flesh just long enough to jab slap them so stinking hard their mother feels it. But I'm not going to go that route. So it's all right, but I got there. I got close. I got really close. But the truth is, look at me. No problems. You understand that? No problems. No problems with drunkards in my family who beat us when we were children. I got no problems with those people. They're all dead and gone. I can't do anything about it now, but thank God I put that away a long time ago. Don't you understand? Don't you see it? That bitterness destroys you. And it's worse than what they did to you. Forgiveness. And then you can just let it go. We ended up 2014. Some of us, we need to clean the garage. Though the clean garage is a sign of a sick mind, as far as I'm concerned. We got to go through the papers and wrap up the year and get the papers from 2014 done so we can do the taxes and see how broke we are. That kind of stuff. Yeah, we got to do that. Got to finish up the year now. Then let's finish it up and let some things go in our life. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.